Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. My task this morning is to teach through the third topic of this 12-part series that Mark started 2 weeks ago on about what CPC believes. For those of you that were here 2 weeks ago, Mark taught on the church, and last week he taught on Scripture and how it is the final authority of all things of faith and practice. And this morning, I'm going to tackle the topic of biblical eldership, because I would propose today that you can't actually understand how the church is to function, and especially these days, unless you clearly understand what Scripture teaches about biblical eldership. Now, I'll warn you, I've got too much material. Because let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at five key passages, and we're going to wade right in. When we're all done, you're going to have Scripture all over you. Then what we're going to do is we're going to make a list of all the biblical principles we've gleaned out of those five passages about eldership. And as you know, all great preachers make either one big point or 3 points. If you notice, that's how Mark is. I'll warn you, I've got 18 points, okay? When Mark sees these slides, he's going to die. But he's not here, so we're okay, all right? But you'll see why I've done that. And then, after we review those biblical principles, I want to talk for a few minutes about how we apply that here locally at Central Peninsula Church, both in areas that I think are strengths, and also in areas that are weaknesses. So I'll warn you, grab your Bibles, fasten your seatbelt. This is going to be a bit like getting a drink out of a fire hose. But we've decided to do all of this in a 40-minute sermon. If Mark was teaching these passages, we'd be here till May. So with that in mind, why don't we go to the Lord and talk to Him for a second, and then we're gonna jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You've given us Scripture. Scripture that is clear, Scripture that is accurate, Scripture that we can depend on, and that we can really go for ourselves and study Your Word and see the places that You want us to, the ways You want us to behave and the areas You want us to concentrate on. And so we commit the next minutes to You, Father. We pray for clarity, and we pray that the only thing that will be heard will be from You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, for some of you, you're probably thinking, you know, John, what's really the big deal? It just seems that God mostly would just be glad that people are in church. Why does He really care how the church is run? Well, I will tell you, I think He does care, and I think after you wade through the Scriptures with me, you'll see that He has an awful lot to say. And unfortunately, there have been three forms of church government that have become very popular in this country, and we should spend a minute just talking about each of those three, that while the people, I believe, that started that idea of church government had good hearts, seem to fall short of the biblical model. But you should know that here at Central Peninsula Church, we very much take Scripture seriously. And what we do here in our eldership, we try to line up with exactly what Scripture teaches, not subtracting anything and not adding anything. So let me talk to you about the three most popular types of church government in the U.S., and as we talk about them, they'll become clear to you. In fact, quite familiar to some of you. The first one, and without the doubt the oldest, is something that's called the episcopal type of church government. Episcopal is from the Greek word for bishop. And this idea was that the final authority of the church should go up through a group of men or a single man. So when you think of that, who do you think of? Well, of course, the Episcopalians would be that way. The Anglicans would be that way. The Roman Catholics would be that way. And in fact, the Roman Catholics even take it to the point where they've as you know, believe in a pope, where there's a final authority in the church. Now, the reason why I say that this is the oldest form of government is because this actually got started in the early centuries of the church. And in a very real sense, they tried to recapture the apostolic ministry and authority that was true in the founding of the New Testament church. But there are some problems with that, as you'll see. Now, the second form, and the one that is without a doubt the most popular here in the United States and other parts of the world, is a congregational form of government. And for those of you that grew up in congregational churches, or grew up like I did in Baptist churches, that's the kind of government. You should know that while it's the most popular, it's also the newest. There was no idea of this kind of church government until the late 1600s and the early 1700s. And you might suspect, what do you think it grew out of? It grew out of the idea that there should be a democracy. It grew out of the idea that every individual mattered, every individual should have a vote. And so that's what spurned the idea of congregational government. And again, without a doubt, the most popular idea in the U.S. today. The third is similar to ours, but not quite exactly. And it's the Presbyterian form of government. Presbyterian comes directly from the Greek word of elder. Now, who might you suspect is the best example of this? The Presbyterians, right? But they've actually put a bit of a twist on it. In most Presbyterian churches, not all, they have decided that there should be a presbytery, which is made up of ordained pastors in a district or an area, and the primary final authority in that denomination or for those churches should land in that group of people. Now, they do really struggle with the problem that there seems to be an overemphasis on those in full-time ministry and especially those that are ordained, which you don't see that in Scripture. Now, we've decided that there's actually a clearer biblical model, and that's exactly what we want to talk about today. Having said that, let me just tell you, we are absolutely confident that we've got our own blind spots. We just do. Our culture blinds us. It's blinded the church from day one. And so what we're trying to be is as accurate as we can be with Scripture. But without a doubt, I'm sure we have our own blind spots. But having said that, let's go to the first passage. All right? And the first passage I want you to look at is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. And let me set the context for you. This is the Apostle Peter, one of the apostles most closest to Jesus. And at the end of his life, he wrote a letter. Actually, he wrote several letters, but this is the first one that we have that was shared with multiple churches. This wasn't just written to one church. And all of those churches were under severe persecution and tribulation. And so right before we get to this section, he's actually talking about how the church needs to hang in there under the suffering, and that it's a model that Jesus had modeled that kind of suffering for them. And out of that background, he decides to speak to the local leadership. There's a couple things when I read this that we will point out, but let's read it first. So follow along. If you've got your Bibles, fine. If not, they're here on the monitors. Peter writes this: "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Now, when you look at this passage, a few things should jump out at you, because it's crucial to understand, and it's kind of at the core of biblical eldership. The first one, it is addressed to elders, not a single elder. When you study the entire New Testament, there is no biblical model for a single leader of a church. Do you realize that? In this country, it is very popular to have a concept of a senior pastor. Many times it's referred to that person being the leader of the church. That is not a biblical model. That is not taught anywhere. There is only, in fact, only one example in all of the New Testament where a single leader is identified with a church. That's in 3 John, and the Apostle John writes that to criticize him. And so the idea behind biblical leadership is it's always to be elders. There's always to be a team of qualified people that lead. Second thing you should notice from this passage, Peter, who was an apostle and one of the closest apostles, one of the closest disciples of Jesus, demonstrates a very important thing in this passage. He does not appeal to these elders as an apostle. He appeals to them as what? A fellow elder. At that time in the church, this was written about 30 years after Jesus had died, the church was already developing where it was very clear that the leadership for the church was to be elders. Now, Peter absolutely had every right to appeal to them as apostles, but chooses to model this idea of true servant leadership. That he, in a sense, kind of steps down from being an apostle and says, listen, I'm a fellow elder just like you. You should know that John, who is without a doubt the closest disciple of Jesus, does the very same thing. When you read all of his writings, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, for instance, what does he identify himself as? John the Elder. And so you'll see that there's this commitment to this new form of church government. Now look at verse 2, because here's the instruction to the elders. Here's the job description. It says, shepherd the flock of God among you. You will see as we walk through these five passages that the idea of elder, shepherd, and overseer are terms that are used interchangeably. Elder being a reflection of character qualities in the man's life. Overseer being a reflection of kind of the job or the task they need to do. And shepherd with the kind of heart they're to have. And so look how they're supposed to shepherd. The first thing they're supposed to shepherd is not out of compulsion. What does that mean? It means that biblical elders are not to serve for any other reason other than they want to and the Lord has led them to do that. They're not to shepherd because of guilt. They're not to do it because they somehow feel compelled because, gee, if they don't do it, who is going to do it? They're not to do it for any kind of ego reasons whatsoever. Instead, they are to shepherd with eagerness, gratefully, without compulsion. Now, they're to shepherd the flock. Who owns the flock? Is it theirs? No. In fact, you'll see as we walk through these five passages, and it's demonstrated here, that it's the chief shepherd's flock, Jesus Christ. And that all elders are called to be stewards, to be faithful shepherds of the people that the Lord's entrusted to them for a certain period of time. And the elders have no control, the Lord has control, about how long they can do this. Remember 2 weeks ago when Mark talked, when he was teaching on the church, and he made a very important point about he worries when he hears from pastors about talking about that this is their church and my church does this, my church does that. You should know that sometimes happens to elders. They kind of view like it's their flock. It's not their flock. In fact, it's the Lord's flock. They're just meant to be stewards of that. And so you should know, if you ever see a pastor, if you ever see an elder that kind of holds super tight on to their ministry or the people that they're to minister to, they're modeling the wrong thing. The model is to be faithful, but to hold it loosely because the flock is from the chief shepherd. So let me explain how the org chart goes. The org chart looks like this. There is Jesus at the top of the org chart. He is the chief shepherd. You see him referred to that in verse 4. The next layer are the under shepherds. Who are they? They're the elders. And all they are to be faithful stewards of the next layer, which are God's people or the flock. If you look at that org chart, that is the org chart of the New Testament. There is no room for a senior pastor.